end up in the right place where you're comfortable, where you feel the most yourself, you need to evaluate your roles and you need to see which roles are giving me energy, which roles are taking away from me, which roles are taking up a lot of time, which roles are not paying me anything.
Even within work, we might have more than one role. A lot of people that I work with and that I know have more than one business, more than one specific product maybe in the arsenal. And that requires different roles as well.
You need energy for your other roles as well. It doesn't help that one role takes 80% of your energy and then you've got 20% energy left to spread across three or four other roles that are almost just as important.
The important thing is, did it work? If not, what am I going to do in it about it? If it did work, how am I going to move forward from there? Because otherwise you're just staying where you are.
Before we start this podcast, I have one small favor to ask you. Can you please hit the subscribe button down below so that we can help more people every week? Thank you. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Right Place podcast. My name is John Watson, and this is our first podcast for 2025. Joining me today is Rudolf Rautenbach. Rudolf, happy 2025. How's it going?
Good, man. Yeah, John, lucky to be with you again. I can't believe the holiday is almost over and that we are in a new year. But yeah, it's always exciting if you cross that 31st of December date and there's this freshness in the air, this positiveness, people hungering for something different, something new, and everyone's just happy to be in a fresh new year and longing for a new start. So the same for me and my family. I'm sure on your side as well.
No, excellent, Rudolf. Yeah, it's been a good start to the year. We had some great weather here in Cape Town. I'm nursing a little bit of a sunburn, which happens when you have a long day on the beach. But yeah, all good.
Yeah, you've got an excuse. I'm just naturally red. So I don't know. I can't even pardon that at all. But anyways, yeah, it's been a good holiday. And it's coincidentally our 50th episode that we're recording today. So good fun in that, and another milestone, and good to start the year with something that we can celebrate as well.
Yes, excellent. And I mean, the Proteas just miraculously won the cricket the other day, which is a good thing. I'm glad they did. Hopefully they can carry that forward into the next matches coming up. Yeah, 50 not out for us. I think that is a milestone. It's been an interesting ride, and we've got some changes that we want to make to the pod in terms of target audience and how we're going to position it. And I think one of the things that you really want to dive into is helping people find their right place. And I think, like we ended off in podcast 49, the last one last year, your right place is at the intersection of your roles, your relationships, and the environments that you find yourself in. And today we wanted to do a super practical, dialed-in look at your roles. Everyone's got slightly different roles that they fulfill. You've got roles in your professional space, your personal space, your family space. And if you can dial those in and end up in the right roles, you can definitely end up in the right place. So that's what we're going to talk about today.
That's an interesting concept in that we play these different scenarios or different roles in our lives because of the situation that we are in. And most of the time we think about work. And at work, you've got a specific position, a role, a defined space that you need to operate in. If you are a solopreneur or a small business, then you touch on five or six of all the different roles within that business. But if you are in a big corporate, you're normally in sales or marketing or HR or finance or something like that. And that is a very defined and specific roles. But what I find interesting is the roles that we play outside of the work environment, in that we have a specific role in our family. We have a specific role in the community. We've got a very specific role, maybe with our friends, that we either the supporter or we need to give direction or something like that. So there's so many different aspects to this concept of roles. And all of them would eventually lead us to a place. And what I would want to find out is, if that place is eventually our right place, is that where we need to be? Or is it a consequence of just the way our lives moved and we just accepted it and we just went with the flow, maybe?
Yeah, there's so many angles actually to this and so many angles to unpack. And sometimes you're in a role for a certain length of time. Sometimes you're in a role by default. Sometimes you're in a role because of an emergency situation. You just kind of had to step in and it kind of just becomes part of you. But I mean, right at the beginning of the year, I think it's important to reflect on those roles. And in order to end up in the right place where you're comfortable, where you feel the most yourself, you need to evaluate your roles and you need to see which roles are giving me energy, which roles are taking away from me, which roles are taking up a lot of time, which roles are not paying me anything, which roles are maybe for me, but I'm not too sure. And I think sometimes we end up in these roles. We're like, am I doing this for the right reason? Am I in it for the right reasons myself? Am I contributing or is there something better for me or even someone else better that can help me do this role better?
I think the most limiting factor in any role is time. I, a lot of times, have to say no to things because I just cannot make it. I cannot do more. I don't have the excess time to spend on something. So, and time is such a precious commodity these days. I, for one, took a decision this year to spend more time with Lucas, with my son, on his schoolwork. Because my wife's engaged at her work as well, more less flexible than I am, and I'm going to spend some time in the afternoons to work with him through some of his schoolwork, and that takes up time, but it's something that I value, and the time value that I have, that commodity, is more important to me than the money that I'm losing by not being able to work for that hour or two. And I can always catch up a little bit at night, which is not ideal, but I can. So because I'm a bit more flexible, I'm able to do that. So the time factor is a very big commodity in the decision making in terms of which roles you need to take and which ones you need to leave, because all of us have the same amount of time. I like the saying in Afrikaans, it's a very practical or very popular saying of you'll make time. And Afrikaans people, for some reason, we use it everywhere. It's like, no, mark date, but just make time. And it doesn't, we cannot make time. Time cannot be made. It's there and it's there for everyone. And it's equal to everyone. It's the one thing that is not more to the one and less to the other, depending on your stature or something. But how you
Yeah,
spend
exactly.
it and what you value is important.
No, 100%,
That's
Rudolf. And I mean, I'm haunted by, not haunted, but I keep coming back to this quote that I saw Justin Welch make last year on LinkedIn, one of his LinkedIn posts. And he said it a few times now. He says, the best people that he knows are slowing down, not speeding up. So they're saying no to stuff. They're creating space around them to fulfill the two or three roles that they're really good at instead of making time, creating time out of nothing to chase five other roles that aren't necessarily for them. So I think the slowing down factor gives you that time to jump in. And then it becomes also a little bit of a thing that am I just trying to keep up with the Joneses here? Am I just trying to be cool? Am I just trying to look cool? Am I creating this facade that I've got everything under control? Which doesn't actually serve you in the long run. It's just going to waste your time actually when you could actually be a bit more offline, spend time with your family and dig into those roles that you'll actually create lasting memories for.
Yeah, very true. And I think that is the big thing, is to identify which of those roles are the important ones, firstly. And secondly, that would actually put you at a place that you want to be in. Because I find myself a lot of times being dragged into things that I have a passion for, but it's not the ultimate thing that I want to do. But I go along with it and I do certain things and I carry on with it. I try and do it in excellence, but it's not fundamentally what I want to do. And I think that is all a bit of an indicator to me that I should have potentially made the hard decision and said, no, should have said, listen, we can't do this. I don't have the time. I'm already busy with X, Y, and Z. And for that reason, I cannot attend this or I cannot take part in this or whatever the case is. And I think that is the difficult thing. You're not going to be able to identify where you want to be. You're going to say yes to things that will not take you to where you want to be. You're just going to flow with it. And unfortunately, that river takes you downstream very quickly into a completely different direction than the one that you actually want to be at. So maybe it's a case of identifying the end goal and to always direct into that. Where's that end goal? What do I want to be? What do I want to achieve? And is this decision that I have to make, the yes or the no decision, is it in line with that? Will it get me there?
No, 100%. And I think it comes down to knowing yourself well. And it's something that we've touched on before on the podcast, is you need to know yourself very well. You need to invest that time and effort and energy into exploring who am I actually. And there's quite a few assessments out there. Obviously, the one that we talk about a lot is the StrengthsFinder analysis. And that's something that you and I did many years ago. And that is something that you can keep going back to and say, these are my top five strengths. These are the things that I'm good at. These are the people, these are the things that people tell me I'm good at. These are the things that people keep coming back to me for. So if something comes along in 2025, I can evaluate it against that. Is this in line with my roles that I'm excellent at? Is this in line with my strengths? Is this something that's going to give me energy? And if it is, then explore it. Don't necessarily have to say yes immediately. You can entertain it. But if it is really not something that is within your wheelhouse, then rather say no. Rather say, look, this isn't for me. I wish you all the best. Or maybe let me connect you with someone that's really good at this. But to just dive in and waste a couple of months is really going to waste your time. So I think if you do the StrengthsFinder, if you know this is what I'm good at, that is such a good foundation to evaluate things that come across your path.
Yeah, very good. I need to go and do that again. We've done it, 12, 13, 14 years ago, maybe. I almost cannot recall all of it there. But it's definitely something that would help to identify the strengths that would lead you forward. And the things that you want to maybe do, but you are not naturally good at. And that takes time again. And that obviously keeps you back. So it is important to understand what you are good at. But like I said in the previous portion, is to always know where you want to go to as well. I mean, if you don't know where you're aiming at, you're just going to shoot in the dark. So you need to identify that specific portion. I think, John, you also on LinkedIn for the new year posted something about your word for the year. And coincidentally, I did exactly the same. I always do it on New Year's. And I have a specific theme or so on. And mine for the year is just focus. And I think that aligns quite well with this discussion as well, in that you cannot be everything to everyone. You cannot do everything in the world. You do not have the time. And the main reason I selected the word focus was to be really dialed in, to be very singularly focused on what I'm busy with. It doesn't mean that I'm only going to do one thing for the year, because I always have a few more things. And also I get bored quickly, so I don't like to do just one thing all over and over and over the whole time. But when I am busy with something, to be present, to be focused, to be fully engaged in that, and to finish it. Because a lot of times you've got five things on your plate, you touch on everything, but you finish nothing. And those five things become six because you don't finish anything off. So I think that to me is a big driver this year. And within the specific role that I'm at that time, I want to be so focused that I am completely present. Yours actually was reach. Maybe you want to talk about that.
Yeah, I chose my word reach. It was a word that popped into my mind probably in November already, and it just kind of stuck with me. And last year, 2024, was definitely a year for connecting up and connecting far and wide. And now it's to reach those people that I've connected with something that I can help them with, and also reach my potential in terms of the strengths and what I have to offer. But in order to do that, I have to say no to certain things. And I made a couple of key decisions in that, because I just believe this is the year to reach. This is the year to reach a wider audience. This is a year to reach different people. We are both connected with on the Lacquer network, and that's going to open up a whole different ball game and new connections that I really want to connect with and reach. And I think it's definitely it's a verb. It's not just I want to be happy or I want to be content. It's the same as focus, like you said. It's I want to be focused. I want to reach, and I think that gives your whole year a bit of direction. And then use those words like focus, like reach. The other one that I've seen that Grant Webster used is relentless. And I think those words can help you evaluate the roles that you're in. That, okay, am I in the channel of focus? Am I reaching? Am I being relentless in these different roles that I fulfill? And what I really like about the focus one that you mentioned is I saw a video in the holidays of a guy who worked with Elon Musk for over 10 years. And someone, the interviewer asked him, how does Elon get so much stuff done? And he says, that guy is unbelievably focused. He would arrive at Tesla. He would ask, what's the biggest problem currently? And he would then focus only on that problem. He didn't care about the 25 other problems. He would focus on one. What is the biggest problem right now? He'd sit with the engineers or the designers or whoever, and he'd solve that problem. And then he'd move on to his next company or the next unit and just focus on one problem at a time. He wasn't trying to multitask, all that type of stuff. And if you focus your energy, your brain power on one thing at a time, exactly like you said, that is when you actually get stuff done.
Very good. What is the risk if you misalign your roles, if you get it wrong, if you don't know what it is maybe? And secondly, if you have these many roles, what are the risks in that?
I think when you have many roles, you're juggling a lot of roles, and then you don't always know what's a priority. In Bruce Whitfield's book, he quotes, this is the One Thing book, he quotes Lesetja Kanyahu, he's governor of the Reserve Bank. And he says, if everything is a priority, then nothing is a priority. So you're running like a headless chicken all over the place, trying to tick all the boxes, being everything to everyone. And it's just not happening. So you're juggling too much. And then also the misaligned roles are going to frustrate you because you think I'm good at this. I think I'm good at this. I can make this happen. I know I can. If I just work harder, if I just work 20 hours a day, you're going to frustrate yourself because maybe you're just not good at it. You just don't have the knack for it, or you don't have the insight or the experience or something like that. So you frustrate yourself. When you frustrate yourself, become disillusioned, you give up, you get angry. And that also affects your other roles. Remember, all these roles are interrelated because they've been played by one person, which is you. So if you're in five different roles and one of them is like pulling you down, that's going to affect the other three or four roles that you're playing. So the alignment needs to be not just one role. It needs to be the other roles that you're doing. If I'm being a good father, it should translate into being a good businessman, being a good keynote speaker, being a good person in my network, et cetera, et cetera. If one of them is pulling me down or taking up way too much time and energy, it is definitely going to affect the others. Do you agree?
Yeah, for sure. I was sitting here thinking that we are talking about roles and it ends with an S, which means that it's plural. It's not your role, it's roles. So it's normal to have more than one role. We started with the intro as well, saying that you've got a role at work, and then you've got all these other roles, community, church, family, and so on. But even within work, we might have more than one role. A lot of people that I work with and that I know have more than one business, more than one specific product maybe in the arsenal. And that requires different roles as well. One of the things that I want to do this year is to focus more on sales, something that I'm not naturally good at. I'm a more of an implementer maybe, but sales is critical to a business. So it's something that I need to evolve in, something that I need to drive. And unfortunately, it's not the thing that drives me primarily. It's not something that comes so natural to me, but something that I need to work at to make some of the businesses that I'm involved in more effective, more profitable, and also to drive the business forward. So we can evolve in these roles, but we will definitely have more than one role. And it's important to understand those roles. What is the thing that drives you firstly, but secondly, what is important for you to achieve the goal that you've set yourself at. And I think there are a few ways that we can maybe look at how do you identify these roles? How do you identify the strengths within your roles and to see how you can make it work for yourself going forward in this year?
No, definitely. I think there is quite a few tools, and I think there's quite a few ways of approaching it. I think maybe the best is to start with a blank piece of paper and write, okay, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a business owner, I'm a speaker, I'm a this or that. And kind of just write, okay, just describe how did 2024 go? So just kind of give yourself a rating. And I think the other thing to do is then talk to other people about how you did in those roles. I think if you're not open to feedback on how you did in 2024, you're not going to get advice for how you can become better in 2025. You need to be open to feedback as well. You need to be mature. If you just want to be a CEO or a business leader with your head in the sand and no one can ever give you advice or critique or anything, you're obviously never going to get better at these roles. And obviously, the beginning of the year is the best time to evaluate these things. Otherwise, you're just going to repeat the same mistakes as 2024. So I would ask for feedback on how was 2024? How did I do? Speak to some key people, and hopefully you've got these people, you've got a mentor, or you've got some staff that you can trust, or some people in your network. And then ask for advice. How can I do better at this? And maybe they give you some straightforward advice and say, dude, you suck. This thing that you're doing, you're wasting your time. You actually suck at this. Rather do something else. Or rather just let this go. It's not working. We've seen you try. We've supported you. But it's just not working. And be honest. And then just can it. Just say, oh, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. That's great advice. Thank you. Because I kind of felt I was going to give it another go. Dude, if the writing's on the wall, then rather move on. So I think you need kind of a bit of a sounding board on that. And that's how you can make effective change to the different roles that you play.
Yeah, I did the same this year. And I mentioned earlier that I'm more operational. And a big part of the work that I have to do is operational. It's executing specific things within the business. And I asked Paul, my colleague, as to what can we improve in the year coming forward. And the feedback was the operations. And I'm like, I felt it's an insult. It hurt. But looking back, when I went to delve a bit deeper, I winged it. I did everything. I did the work. But things would fall apart a bit because we haven't got a process bedded down. We didn't write it out. I didn't make it possible for someone else to do that work as well. I had to do all of it because I'm the one responsible for it, but it wasn't documented. It wasn't laid out. Something that I pride myself as being good at, I just did because it came natural. So it's also necessary to, within your role, to do it in a way that you can assist other people, but also to make it as effective as humanly possible, because I think it's something that if it's so easy and natural to you, you almost disregard it as it just happens. But to other people, it can make a world of difference if you do it properly in a way that can allow them to take part as well and to drag them along almost, because it doesn't come natural to everyone. John, I'm thinking of energy, and I find myself that sometimes I work really hard, but I don't feel tired. I can sleep less and I graft through things and I can get a lot done because it energizes me. It's something that I'm passionate about that I want to get it done. And it, like I said, it almost comes naturally. And this energy drives me forward in a way. Would you say that specific energy, that passion, thing that comes naturally, would that be an indicator of a role that you are good at? Or is it just is it something that is just born within us?
I think it might be a little bit of both. I think if something is giving you energy, remember, energy works both ways. The energy of the task or the thing that you're busy with is attracting you to it, firstly. So this thing has a lot of energy, or there's a lot of potential with it. And then while you're doing it, you're loving doing the thing. And then afterwards, you're very satisfied with the thing that you did. So there might be something that is not as attractive, but then you start doing it. Oh, this is actually quite lekker. But then the end result, my word, it was a schlep. I wasted 20 hours on something. I'm not too happy with the result. So I think you have to look at it from a couple of different angles. But it is also something that you're born with. I mean, everyone of us has a different brain composition. We have definitely different strengths, different insights, different ways of seeing the world, different ways of approaching the world. And we've, at this age that we are in and that business leaders are in, you're in your 40s or your early 50s or something, you've got experience, you've gone through some up and downs. So you're looking backwards at things that have worked or not worked and say, okay, I'd rather do this. I want to go where the energy is. I want to evaluate this in this way. So it does come with experience as well. But if you're doing something and banging your head against the wall and you have to drink a six pack of Red Bull just to even sit down and get going on this thing, I think that's not meant for you. And then I think you need to like take a serious look. Can I outsource this? Can I get some help? Can I delegate it? Or do I even need to do this? Is this adding any value whatsoever? And it might be a case of just say no, this is not working. Please, let's move on, because you need energy for your other roles as well. It doesn't help that one role takes 80% of your energy and then you've got 20% energy left to spread across three or four other roles that are almost just as important as the role that you spent all your energy on. So you, like you said earlier, you've got limited time. You've also got limited energy. You eventually need to sleep. You eventually need to switch off. You eventually need to read a book or go and exercise. So energy management, I think, is good as well. Very important.
Yeah, I think for me, if I feel energized in something, it almost comes naturally. If I have to craft it out because this thing is not something that I'm used to or that I want to be in or that I almost get forced to do, then it takes a lot longer to do. And secondly, I'm not as passionate about it. And then my energy gets sapped out quite quickly. So I think for me, the energy part is quite a big indicator of whether or not this is a fit for me. Mm-hmm. Having said that, I also believe in pushing yourself into growth. And it doesn't help that I only focus on things that I like. So if I just do these things that I'm good at and like, what am I going to learn? I'm not going anywhere. So I think it's important to identify these things that we are not good at, but that are also important. Things that you need to spend a bit of time on to hone that skill or to drive progress so that you are in a position where you can make a difference when called upon. I think the roles are twofold here. The one is the different positions almost that we have to be in. And then within that position, we've got different tasks. Those are also roles that we play. We've got maybe a bit of sales and operations and so on. But first, our roles is the position that we have to be in. And that could be completely different. And the position we either get elected to by our own preference almost, or we decide on that. And to me, that is something that we have a core decision about. We can decide. We can play ourselves into that position. And I mean, you mentioned it in your LinkedIn post on the first, saying you need to network up and get to places and increase your reach from that position. And I think that is possible because we want to be in that specific role. But if you're in that role, what do you do with it? And that is also a role to play, because you can't just sit there because I'm now in a position and do nothing. The important part is to be active within the position that you are placed in, or that you get elected into, or that you decide upon.
No, absolutely. I agree with you there. And I think it's important to reflect on that, not just at the beginning of the year, but check in with yourself, maybe even on a monthly basis. check where am I in terms of these roles? Do I still believe what I believed on the 1st of January? Maybe something else has happened. Maybe something's come along. Maybe things haven't quite worked out. Then adjust your course. It doesn't help then, I'm just going to double down and work another 200 hours on this or spend some extra energy on this. I think the reflection needs to be almost on a consistent basis and asking for advice and asking for feedback, because that's how you kind of refine your journey and you get narrower and more dialed in the more information you have. If you just ignore the elephant in the room, you're going to frustrate yourself. You're going to run out of talent. You're going to end up definitely not in the right place. And I think that's what we wanted to end off with in terms of making this very practical for people, is you need to do a bit of a role audit and almost set a baseline for 2025. What are the roles that I did in 2024? What did I prioritize last year and how did it go? Okay. Do I want to do these roles in 2025? Or how am I going to adjust my sales to end up in a better place? And I think that reflection then gives you a bit of a baseline, because you need to know where you are to kind of say, okay, I'm here, I want to get there. Okay, what do I need to do between now and there to get there? And then look at the roles that brought you joy, brought you growth, those positive roles, hold on to them. How can I do more of this? If this is something that I'm really good at, I enjoy it, okay, is there an opportunity to do more of it? And not just keep it at 20%. Maybe I can elevate this one to 30% of my time or 40% of my time. Maybe the gold is just a couple of more hits away and I can actually strike gold with this role and turn it into something a lot bigger. Do you agree?
Yeah, very much so. I think that you're not going to go somewhere if you do not go and take a bit of stock. So we've spoken a lot about past and last year and so on, but the important thing is, did it work? If not, what am I going to do in it about it? If it did work, how am I going to move forward from there? Because otherwise you're just staying where you are. So for me, it's very important to go and set those goals, set up the direction that you want to move in. And you cannot do that without this little bit of an audit, as you call it, to go and ask people, what am I good at? What can I improve in? That is a more difficult question. And also, what do you want from me? Because if it's a bit more personal relationship, I think that is also a very important question to ask. And then we all have these childhood dreams that we sometimes put in the back burner and that we just cast away almost. And I think that is also something to go and look at, is what have I dreamt about in the past? What did I want to achieve, but I haven't got right yet? And go and revisit those things and see if it's a possibility within this year. And how can you make that work going forward? It's important to go and identify those roles. Go and see where you want to be at the end of this year, and not just wait for things to happen before you almost fall into it again.
Yeah. No, 100%. And we've come up with three steps that you can take in terms of your roles. And it might sound a little bit strange, but the first one is to practice it. You need to practice these roles somehow. And it might be practice giving a talk to your team, practice writing those emails, practice standing up in public and giving a 1 minute talk at a networking event. I believe if you practice it, that's where you kind of unlock a little bit of the magic in fulfilling these roles that you have. And that time that you invest in practicing it is only going to help you act on it when you have to do it in public. So practice these things that you want to do. Practice these things that you want to do to help you fulfill these roles better. And I really, really believe that the practice makes perfect, which happens to be the third one. The second one is perform it then in public. So you practice how you want to achieve this role, how you want to present yourself in this role, and then perform it like that in public. And when you're performing it in public, ask for people's feedback. Ask for their advice. Hey, how did that go? How was that talk? Did I run the meeting okay? Did I present well? Was it too long, too short? Was I not clear enough? That is how you then get feedback. So feedback is a massive thing in terms of finding your right role. And then the last one there is perfect it by teaching others. And we've spoken about this maybe once or twice on the pod. Like, if you want to learn something, teach it to other people. Maybe there are some junior staff in your team or some people in your network that you think can really step up in a certain role. Maybe become a bit of a mentor to it. Maybe teach it to them. Maybe invite them to one of your practice sessions or something like that. And I think that's how you can perfect how you approach these certain roles. And I think that really can then help you find fulfillment in the roles, because I think that's ultimately what you want. You want to end up at the right place and be fulfilled in these various roles. And while you're doing that, you are like every day you're getting slightly better. It's like that 1% better every single day. I'm getting slightly better, slightly better. Things are working out. I really, really believe that the listeners that take this to heart can really find fulfillment in their roles.
Yeah, the teaching one is always something that I strive towards and that I like as well. And what I always tell people is that if you really want to know if you understand a topic, start training other people on it. Because if you can train someone else on a specific topic, then you know that you have grasped it. And they're going to challenge you on a lot of things and you're going to have to dig a bit deeper. So I would not start training people on something unless I've mastered it in such a way that I feel comfortable to train others. Otherwise, I'm just showing them. But yeah, to practice that with other people, to perfect it, will show very quickly how good you are in that specific role and whether you can give value to other people in that capacity as well. But they are very important. And nice three very practical steps there, John, that we can take forward into this year to try and see how we can utilize our specific skill sets and our roles and to drive it forward. And especially with new ones, new skills that we want to be part of our arsenal in this year, or new roles that we are moving into, to take these three steps and always start with laying a foundation, building a bit of a wall around you, and then putting up the roof at the end, trying to get to a place where we able to also give towards other people within that role and bring the next generation through as well. Yeah, it's a very interesting topic and something that I will now go and refresh on myself, because I just set myself some goals and I had to cut out a few things. I had to open up some time again. But very important now to think about the roles within those things that are left over for the year, but also the roles that I want to move into in the year. And I think that is why this episode or this recording is actually so important at the beginning of this year, in that we still have the whole year ahead. If we can lay the foundation now, the year would go in that direction if we deliberately move it there.
No, 100%. And also, I think just to encourage the listeners, you're not going to get this right on day one. If you've got a role that you need to let go of, it might take 6 months. Or if you've got a role that you want to grow into or something new that you want to take up, it might take a couple of months to get going in that. So give yourself that time and space to do that. And then reflect, ask for advice, ask for feedback, write things down, and invest in the practicing and the performing and the perfecting and teaching others. And I think that's how you grow. It's not just I decide on 1 January what I'm going to do, and that's it. Now, I'm obviously just going to get it right. I'm going to hit it out the park. It is a bit of work, but I like what you said there, where you've given yourself that space to grow into it, to learn through the process, and to focus on that throughout the year is important.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, John, it was always good as always. I've got some work to go and do now to think about this and to clarify it. But I'm sure there's a lot of value in this to the listeners. And I hope that you find your right place and your role at that right place during this year, and that it would be a good year for you, John, and to the listeners as well then.
No, thanks so much, Rudolf. It's been a great chat. I always learn a lot from you, and looking to seeing how you grow in your roles in 2025 and making this an epic year.
Good, and we'll see you all at the right place.